Hi, this is Jackie Neal. I'm interviewing another one of my participants from the people of the Rio Grande Valley border town cyanotypes. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
So we're just going to kind of start off by you've been telling me about how you traveled all over the country by hopping trains. So can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, do you have a happy memory that you could share with me? I know that you were talking about like how you would run into people all over the place that you didn't expect to see and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it all started just when I was little. My parents planted a little seed in me, you know, because they were missionaries, and so that was how I ended up growing up down here on in the Rio Grande Valley. So growing up traveling with them kind of instilled that in me. So in high school, I don't know what it was. I felt like there was more to life than just, you know, waking up and going to school. And I mean, I'm glad that I did go to school and stuff, just because I learned stuff. And I wanted to go out and learn the world on my own with my own two eyes, and not through other people's eyes telling me. So me and my friends, just right after high school, we pretty much just hit the road in his truck, and waited until his truck ran out of gas, and then
just out of gas, not like when the engine blew or whatever. You just waited till it ran.
It was pretty much until it ran out of gas, and then we'd go and like sing songs on the side. We had our guitars and harmonicas and bongos and stuff, and so we just went on the side and we just play music there all day until we raised up enough money to get to the next town.
Wow.
And so we were traveling like that for a while, then sleeping in the back of his truck. Mm-hmm. And then eventually something like that did happen where his truck just broke down. And so we knew some friends that were into the whole like hitchhiking stuff, and so they were kind of like teaching us the ropes, and then eventually it led to train hopping as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called his dad, and so his dad had to come and like pick up the truck and everything, and you know, take it to a local mechanic, and he drove it back down here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool visiting his dad every once in a while, because he still has that truck, and so mm-hmm. every time I visit him, I'll see that truck and I'll be like, man,
those were the days.
Yeah,
right?
That was my house for a while.
that was
pretty cool.
Man.
But yeah, I mean,
so
a lot
like paint that. A picture of what like traveling from town to town would look like. So you'd hop in the van. What did you have in the back?
So we kind of built our own little camper like thing on the back of the truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
so like, was it a pickup truck?
I have a picture of it.
Was it a pickup truck and not a van? And
yeah.
did you put like a camper on the back
of
the top?
Yeah. So
how cool is
so
that?
There was a camper, but then we built wood in between, so it like kind of extended it higher.
Oh, cool.
And then because it was so high, we had to put like a little like, you know, the semi trucks, they have that that thing on the truck on the top. It's kind of like a slant.
A pitch or something, just so that it rains.
Yeah,
when it rains, it like
well,
goes
for
down.
Like the wind when you're like going down the highway.
Oh.
That fast.
Yeah,
the wind will like catch it, and so it's like really hard on the gas. And so we like built one of those on the front of the truck. So yeah, it looked like this really funny, interesting hillbilly type looking vehicle. but yeah, I mean, it was
have
cool.
You ever seen the Beverly Hills Hillbillies?
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like that.
It was sort of like that, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But all right, cool. So the back was full.
We had a mattress in there too and everything.
A mattress?
So.
And did you have like a small kitchen kind of thing, like a hot plate or something?
Yeah, we did have a hot plate and that we would like plug in at like gas stations every once in a while on the side. Sometimes they have like plugs.
Yeah.
And things like that. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times we would just camp out. Like, we just, like, find a little forest area and just make a fire. And
what was your favorite place to stop?
I don't know. There were so many awesome places.
Like, do you remember what state
and so many
at the very
good
least?
People that we met. I mean, we really love Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm headed to Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee was pretty amazing. Just because our friend too that we met traveling is from Tennessee, and so he showed us the ropes of that town and like how it was and stuff, and I think if we didn't know him we probably wouldn't like Tennessee, but
really?
he's a part of this bicycle gang called the Scallywags, and supposedly there's bicycle gangs all over, and they all have different names, and they all meet up once a year, and they do these like bike rides. But I mean, locally they meet up with each other too, and they do the bike rides like every month or so.
And you're not talking about bicycles, you're talking about motorbikes.
No, I'm talking about bicycles.
Yeah. Are you serious?
And they built them, they like the tall bikes, they built like tall bikes.
Yeah, they have them together in Brooklyn. And,
like all these like different types of bikes.
Get out.
Yeah, so, so like the two gangs that started that whole scene, was the Scallywags, which were out of Chicago. But my friend was the captain of the Scallywags bike gang in Nashville, and so yeah, he just introduced us to that whole scene, and we kind of became a part of it, and we'd go on the bike rides and everything, and it was fun. It was really cool to hang
out
with all those guys.
How long ago was that? What year do you think that was?
So I'm gonna say that was probably in 2005.
2005?
Yeah, because I graduated in 2004, and we hit the road right away.
And how long did you travel
in
like
04?
That?
For 3 years.
For three years. How long did you travel in your truck?
So in the truck was about, it wasn't even a year.
And then it pooped out?
Yeah, and then that was when we met our friend Jono.
And that's the Tennessee guy?
The Tennessee guy, yeah.
And you met him, and then you hung out in Tennessee for a while. And then you went train hopping.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Can you paint?
My friend Jono was doing train hopping ever since he was 12. And so
okay, so tell me all about it. You know, you see it on television or in the movies, but like, what's the deal? Like, what are your secrets to getting on and off the train?
It's
like, how do you not hurt yourself?
Yeah, honestly, it's a really dangerous thing to do. I know now why my parents were so nervous and scared that they found out that I was doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't for someone showing us how to do it, I don't know if I would do it, because I was even scared when I would go with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a scary thing. You see, you know, these huge, you know, like wheels on a track, and you just picture yourself under there like, okay, I don't want that to happen.
Right.
And there were a lot of scary moments where, you know, we like almost fell off, and that was pretty scary. And my friend Jono has also had some friends who who like, you know, got hurt and passed away on them too.
Oh,
and
that's
so
horrible.
Yeah.
So you probably don't want to describe how to do it on audio for fear of someone trying to do
it.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
I
have
don't,
to be shown.
Honestly,
in person.
I don't really like now. I guess it's the dad in me now, but I don't really encourage people to do it unless you know.
I just want to know how you jump off without hurting yourself.
Yeah, well,
like what
well,
kind of like thing
the
you
train
do?
I mean, the train eventually stops in certain spots, especially they have two different types. There's one called the fast line, and then there's one called a junk train. And so the junk trains, they stop every like, you know, couple hours. They'll stop and they wait for like 30 minutes to like an hour, and sometimes the train conductors, they'll go and they'll like check all the cargo and stuff, make sure everything's okay. So that's when we really have to hide out.
Mm-hmm.
Or jump off for a little bit and hide out, and then jump back on when they're gonna go.
Oh, you can already tell.
Yeah, because
tell.
If you get caught, you could either go to jail or sometimes
happens?
They stop in inside the train yard, and that's kind of scary, just because our friend John told us stories where like they like his friends, you know, got like shot with like rubber bullets and it's considered government property inside those train yards. And
okay.
so the crazy thing about it is that the train conductors, they some of them are like really like mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of like get this like sense of, you know, like, well, we can do whatever we want by law, you know. And so mm-hmm. sometimes they, you know, we'll like beat them or but then sometimes they'll like just turn them into
where
the cops.
Where was the most aggressive situation you've ever been in? Like what state and area?
That we hopped a train one time from Nashville to Louisville, Kentucky, and it was on the way there was when we saw the bulls. They call them bulls. The rail police. I guess it's like their traveler's little nickname for them. Just, I mean, it's cops are pigs. Word. Yeah, cops are pigs, and then those are bulls. And so so the bulls were coming, and we were like, oh, no. And, like, they definitely saw us, you know. So so we jumped off, but we jumped off on the other side, and they were on the opposite side. And so they were there in their trucks, and they have to drive around the whole train to get to us. Mm-hmm. And because the train was, like, slowly going through. And we were in the yard, too, and I think we fell asleep. I'm not, it all happened so quick. And then our friend Jonna was like, they spotted us. Like, get up, let's go, you know? And it was just like a quick kind of thing. And, you know, you just wake up, you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So he was like, all right, jump off. And so we jumped off on this end. And yeah, you could see their legs on the other end. But the train's going real slow. But yeah, they're still like yelling stuff at us, and they're like, all right, get them.
Whoa.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And I mean, you don't know if those guys are the nice guys that are just gonna let you go, or like turn you into the cops, or if they're the mean guys with like the rubber bullets. No, I haven't.
No.
Yeah.
That's
So but that was our close call right there. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing that like kind of scared me. After that was when my friend Amano kind of slowed down a little bit on mm-hmm. on the train hopping, just because I guess it scared us, and mm-hmm. so we would just hitch rides and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Which could also be scary because you never know who's gonna pick you up.
Okay, so like you would travel in packs of two, or would you have more than two ever?
We usually would have more than two, but yeah, there was a couple times where it was just me and my my friend Mondo.
I see.
Who I also grew up with, and I consider brother as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was me and him that went with the group down here mm-hmm. traveling at first, and it was me and him that like always stayed traveling with each other, so we were always around each other all the time. It was just different people that we switched out.
What brought you back to Rio Grande Valley?
Well, after we eventually ended up in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, mm-hmm. There was a lot of relief work down there, mm-hmm. So yeah, and then we also heard it was a traveler hangout spot. A lot of people went down there, and just because it was pretty much like a ghost town after that, and no one was there.
Really?
So they all wanted to like help out with like rebuilding the town.
Wow.
And it was really cool too, just because they would all have at the end of the night after working really hard, you know, gutting out houses and spraying some stuff to kill the mold, so that they could rebuild it. We would all, you know, come together at this like old church that we squatted, they called it, and so we pretty much went into the church and like lived in there without anyone's permission. It was a non-profit organization, and after Hurricane Katrina too, there wasn't too many police and just city officials or like anyone there. It was just like we were just this non-profit organization, and I like became a part of that when I went down there, and just a bunch of like, you know, travelers and mm-hmm. like punk kids that just wanted to do a change.
Oh, it might be. I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. So what were you saying?
Oh yeah, so it was just this.
So it was pretty lawless, in other words.
Yeah, just this own like little community of all of us coming together, and we wanted to make a change, just because it seemed like right after that, no one like government-wise really cared about rebuilding it right away. It was just like left there.
That's terrible, because I know when Hurricane Sandy happened, it affected my family's house down at like the New Jersey shore.
Yeah.
And within 1 week, the mold, we only got flooded 1 foot in our place.
Yeah.
But the mold went up to the middle of the wall.
Yeah,
by the end of the week.
Yeah, it was like that over there too. I mean, sometimes even cover the whole house.
Oh my god! I've seen really photographs of it.
Yeah,
but
like it didn't even look like you're in America. It kind of looked like a third world country.
I was go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem. So after Hurricane Sandy, I volunteered down at the Rockaways.
Yeah.
And they had no support whatsoever. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Like basically, the Rockaway Surf Club coordinated like volunteer efforts and just opened a pantry basically. Yeah, so everybody was shipping stuff out to the Rockaways, and I would go out there to distribute it, and it was like it was a ghost town, and it was like what the hell. And
that's,
I'm sure
that's
it was
pretty
probably
much how it was there too.
Yeah. And then they closed. They made us all leave after the sun went down.
Yeah.
Is that what happened in New Orleans too?
No. Well, I mean, we stayed there. Like, we were there all night. We slept there at the church. And that nonprofit that I was with, Common Ground was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
They all got stuff donated. Somehow.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, so like we all had food, and they just got together and just cooked this huge meal for everyone.
Oh, that's great.
It just became its own little like
co-op.
So
it's kind of cool. It's like you take off to go like basically hitchhiking or train hopping, and in turn something happened that drew you to another community to actually help.
Yeah, I think what it was too, I really got a heart for homeless people and you know, like poor people and stuff. Those kind of people, you know, that we met on the road, it wasn't by choice. With us, it was by choice. We chose that lifestyle. But with them, they didn't choose that lifestyle. Somehow they,
you
know,
got kicked
out of
their
house,
or their homeless
house got ruined. And there was some people in New Orleans that stayed because they loved the town so much that were homeless after that.
I see.
And they didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to do. And they just kind of were surviving. And so we just kind of had this like sense of like compassion for those kind of people. We just wanted to like help them out any way
possible.
How
long were you in New Orleans for?
So I was in there for around 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then after that, did you head back here to Mission?
So yeah, that was when I came back for a little while, and then I went back traveling with my friend Mondo for a little bit. But then I guess coming back for a little while, it made me it made me miss a lot of people and my family and stuff. And so that was why I came back again. And I think that's what it was. Like, you grew up down here, and that was how it was for everyone that I met. You know, no one mm-hmm. liked their hometown. Everyone, mm-hmm. It seemed, I mean, there was some people that did, but yeah, for the most part, people were like, and we always thought it was cool because it was new to us. We're like, man, this place is so cool. And mm-hmm. and a lot of them, like people in Nashville, were just like, it's whatever, it's Nashville, you know. I guess they were used to it and jaded by it.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like that too growing up down here. But leaving it really made you appreciate a lot of stuff.
Right.
Down here and just how slow it is down here.
Yes.
I was really into art, and growing up I was really into drawing because of my dad and my sister. They both were artists. I'm the youngest, and so I grew up seeing them doing that, and in school that was all that I did. I didn't really do
you're
do
really amazing. It's worth mentioning that you're a really amazing artist though.
Oh, thank you.
Would you consider yourself an illustrator or describe your tattoo again.
Which one? This one?
Of Christy, yeah.
Yeah, so this is pretty much Christy.
Can you
my
tell
wife.
Us about it? Because they can't see.
Yeah.
So tell us what's on it.
So it's my wife Christy in cartoon form. So it's this
kind of. What kind of style of cartoon is that? Because it's not what I think everybody would envision.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like line work.
Yes.
That's
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean that's what they would call it too in the tattoo world,
mm-hmm.
since there isn't really too much shading or anything like that. And
mm-hmm.
and I like to draw like that as well, shading and whatnot. But mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I also like just simple, you know, just line work of, you know, people and I learned realism in school.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I was gonna graduate under the the biggest, I think it's called the Distinguished Plan, you know.
I don't know it.
Yeah, so there's like AP kids, or you know, like
yes.
kids
mm-hmm.
that yeah so that that like take certain classes to so that they could already have like call it
yeah college credit
yeah credit when they graduate and stuff. And so I was under one of those plans, and I went to my counselors and I felt like I didn't, I mean, that was when I was like going through the whole thing of like not wanting to go to school after
mm-hmm.
after high school and just
mm-hmm.
traveling. And I was like, I just want to learn as much art as possible. How can I do that? And they were like, well, if you want, And this was my senior year. They were like, if you want, you could go down to like a smaller plan and, you know, take more art classes.
And so I was like, so you had to get out of the AP program.
Yeah. So pretty much I told them and they were like, are you sure? Like most people want to graduate the distinguished plan or so that they could have credit and stuff. And I was like, no, I honestly don't care what my status is going to be. I want to learn art. That's my passion. That's all I want
to
do.
So to describe your tattoo, let me just describe it really quick before you go on.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking at is a tattoo on his forearm. What is it? This is the forearm?
Yes.
Or is this it's the hairy arm part of the forearm. And from the fist up to the elbow is this beautiful, lanky, woman who is holding a mandolin in her hand, and she's holding it almost like it's a magic trick. You know, her bottom hand is, her palm is open, and her top hand has the neck of the mandolin, and is hanging, like hovering the mandolin over her palm, and she's riding a unicycle. Yeah, and she's in this beautiful floral dress, and her hair is long and flowing down her back, and around her, the crown of her head, she has a thin band with a feather that's peaked up through the top like a peacock, just like one feather, and it's goes straight up, and then it has a loop at the top and plops down, and then the unicycle
part. What was funny too about that part, my tattoo artist, he said that was one of his funnest parts to tattoo. It was just
fun
to go through it. Like, man, I bet it's cool when you were drawing it. just to do that little squiggly line.
How long have you had this tattoo? Because it doesn't look like it's worn down very much.
I've had it for, I want to say, around 2 years now.
Yeah, it looks nice and fresh.
Yeah.
And so at the wheel of the unicycle, she's wearing boots. It's like folded down boots. They kind of look like engineer boots to me.
Yeah.
And she's pedaling the unicycle, perfectly balanced. And what I love is this little detail of the dress as it falls off of the bike seat, and it just like is flopping down a little bit. And then she has these like really adorable knobby knees that look a little bit like scabbed, maybe.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like a tomboy or something,
yes,
right?
My wife, she is very clumsy,
and so
she falls all the time. Like sometimes I'll hear a loud noise in the other room, and I'll just run over there, and she's like on the ground, and she's like, I did it again, babe. And like,
oh,
you know, she falls all the time, she did grow up kind of tomboyish, I think it's very cute.
It is adorable.
Yeah, she has, like, bruises and stuff.
It is adorable. Hold on for 1 second. Yeah. So sorry.
No, it's all good.
Just have to pause it. Continue. Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's all good.
So you met Christy down here. You guys went to high school together, but you were running in separate packs.
Well, we didn't really go to high school together, my friend Mondo actually went to high school with her, and so he knew her more than I did. I would see her at like all the punk shows and.
Tell me about that place that you would go see punk shows again.
Yeah, a guy named David Salinas, he's a really good friend of ours. He now is the owner of the Department of Virology. He had this company called Anthos at the time, and so he would throw shows at different venues. And
what were some of the bands
made
you
shirts
saw?
And stuff.
So he made silk screens and stuff?
Yeah, so he made shirts for those bands.
So what bands did you see when he would arrange those things?
So they were all really big in the Christian punk scene. But I mean, not just punk.
You know what? As a punk,
yeah,
it blows my mind that there's even such a thing as a Christian punk band.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
We were so anti.
No, for sure, and I totally get that too. And I was friends with a lot of non-Christian punks, and they all made fun of us because.
Well, not that we were anti-religion. We were anti any sort of like coordination.
No, for sure. Yeah. And I totally get that too. Like growing up, listening to punk, and I mean, I didn't listen to like just Christian punk. I also listened to, you know, like all types of punk. You know. And so
you can go.
I think he's okay.
You can go check on
it. No, it's all good. Okay. I just said, don't want to lose my train of thought. But yeah.
Yeah. So the bands that you saw were name five bands that you remember seeing.
Okay, so I saw this band named Head Noise.
Mm-hmm.
They were out of Chicago, and then another band. Showbread mm-hmm. is another one. Officer Negative is
that
another.
I've heard of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and. And then MXPX, too.
Cool. Well. All right, so you told me that David Salinas basically was the thread that got you and Christy together.
Yeah.
She worked for him.
She worked for him. David Salinas went to my church at the time.
I see.
And he was in a ska band, too. We both were kind of in a ska band together for, like, a little bit. It wasn't even that long, mm-hmm. But yeah, that was pretty fun. And so he would bring these bands together. There was this this festival called Cornerstone that they would throw every year, and they pretty much like any Christian band that you could think of, not even punk, but like in all types of genres, they would go to that festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started out going to that festival and with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
We heard about it. I don't even remember how we heard about it, but yeah, my parents got a church van together and they wanted to take a bunch of the youth kids up there and
up to where? Say that again. Where up to where?
I think it was 2 hours out of Chicago, Bushnell,
wow.
Illinois.
Wow, you guys drove all the way up there.
Yeah, huh? There was this like big farm, and it was pretty much like a Woodstock
type of
event. Yeah, it was really cool.
And did Christy go?
And so
go
you camp
you?
Out there for like 4 days. She would go every once in a while, just because she would help David out the years after we like took him there for the first time.
He's distant.
Is he?
Yeah. You guys went to what was it? Where in Chicago? Around Chicago?
Cornerstone
okay.
Festival. And yeah, you could look it up on YouTube So what's funny too is we had a punk band down here, me and my friend Mondo,
mm-hmm.
before we went traveling and all that stuff, back mm-hmm. to like the Christian punk thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always get made fun of all the by all the like other punk rockers.
Mm-hmm.
And so
how'd you meet Christy?
Okay, so how I met Christy, so she would go to those shows, right? At Entho's, David Salinas would throw them.
Mm-hmm.
I would always skateboard outside of those shows, and I mean we were poor punks. Mm-hmm. and our parents didn't really want to lend us money for things like that, and so we would either like stay outside and like ask people for change to get in, or we would sneak in, and it was funny because David like knew that we would sneak in, and so he'd always tell Chris like, hey, go kick those guys out or whatever,
and that's how you guys
and so met? Yeah, she would like be like, oh, sorry guys, you know, you can't come in here unless you pay and all this stuff, and so but like sometimes he wouldn't even care, he'd be like, oh, all right, you guys could stay, like it's cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so she was the one that would like kick us out, and I mean I always thought that like,
and then
she
you
was
fell
cute.
In love with the girl who kicks you out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
I really
no
appreciate it. This is the point where I ask you if you would want to remain anonymous or do you want to tell me your name.
I can tell you my name.
Okay, cool. What's your name?
Denny like the restaurant, Bentley like the car.
Denny, okay. May I have permission to use your audio?
Yes.
Online? Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.